life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
And then we have Prairie Creek Park, which will be in the middle of May. We're looking at a grand opening and ribbon cutting then.
On the air first when seconds count.
There's still a lot of people around the country who are at risk for having this illness. We know that using masks and hand sanitation, keeping our distance, really makes a big difference.
The news team you've come to depend on.
It is one of the few cancers that we have that's preventable, meaning that we can detect precancerous things or things that can become cancer before they become cancer and remove them.
Your official weather station.
Really, once the county put the red flag warning out, so to speak, we had a lot of people stay home. I don't know why, if you can't look out the window and see that you need to stay home.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. As we said at the start of the show, we're having two taped interviews that we've done in the past 3 weeks. We already had the one with Lynn Elmore. Now we're going to have the one we did last week with Bill Hancock, who's in charge of the NCAA college football playoffs. So here's Bill with that interview. We're going to bring out our next guest, who is the head of the College Football Playoff Association. That's Bill Hancock. Bill, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. I'm just fine. How about you?
I'm doing well. So how's everything going out where you're here in Kansas City this morning, aren't you?
Kansas City, yep. Last time we talked, I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
Are your listeners more Purdue or more Indiana?
Purdue.
Or Notre Dame?
Purdue.
How do you sit it? I know you're closer to Lafayette.
Yeah, it's Purdue, and then I'd say it's probably split with a little bit more Notre Dame than Indiana. We had a lot of people up here from Indiana, but been down that southern part. But yeah, I'd say it's probably Purdue, Notre Dame, Indiana, that order, pretty close to it. But Purdue was by far the top one.
That would have been my guess. And we're so lucky in college sports to have our rivalries like that.
Yes, we are.
I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can focus our rivalry energies on sports. I think that's one of the great benefits of our industry.
I would totally agree, and to me it's a shame, and I know that in the future now Indiana and Notre Dame are going to get together for a series, for a 2-year series. It'd be great if everybody in every state would get together for some series like that. It would be great.
It would be. And I've seen some legislatures that have mandated it,
mm-hmm,
in places.
Yep.
And remember back in the day when Louisville and Kentucky didn't play each other.
That's right.
In basketball. And the legislature got into it. And then I think they wound up playing in an NCAA tournament, I believe. This is 20, 25
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, I think that's
and
right.
People just loved it. And there are states where it is mandated. For a while, it was mandated in New Mexico. New Mexico and New Mexico State had to play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the new kind of day and time when budgets are a little tighter and travel is going to be restricted, maybe we're going to see more of that.
Well,
I would hope so.
You know, I've had some thoughts over the years that maybe instead of having some of the NCAA tournaments or playoffs or whatever, maybe we should just let's start with the best team out of each state. You know, and we'll see you play it out that way. I don't know. I just have had that thought off and on for a long time.
State champions.
Yeah, something a little bit different.
Exactly.
But we want to talk about the playoffs for college football, and something came out here. Oh, I'm going to guess a couple of months ago now that there's been a subcommittee that presented some expansion ideas to as many as 16 teams, which to me is a little bit too much. Well, I think that's kind of where you're at as well.
Yeah, we did have a committee of our leaders appointed a committee of their own to think about the future. And although the CFP has been very successful and we're entering year 8 of a 12-year contract, it makes sense to think about the future. And as you think about what formats you might use, it's important to think about everything. And they started with, I think it was 63 different formats, and they kind of winnowed it down a little bit. I'm not going to be able to talk too much about what the winnowing
right.
might have resulted in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you start with a whole buffet of possibilities.
So, but I take it if you guys were to expand, you wouldn't expand by two teams. You'd expand, I would say, probably double of what you have in there. We'll go to 4, go to 8, and maybe go to 16. But I don't think you'd go to 6, or would you?
Well, we just don't know. It hasn't been finalized yet. We have a process where the subcommittee will report to the full committee, and then that full committee actually then has to report to a group of university presidents. And lots of research still has to be done, and this will go at least through the summer. May or may not end in the fall. It's a complex process, and we want to make sure we take our time.
Are you happy with the current format that you got right now?
Yes, we are. We are, and our leaders are happy with it. They're delighted with the fact that we do decide a champion on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Regular season remains important. You know, college football is the most compelling regular season of any sport, most meaningful. If you lose a game, you still have a chance, but you've certainly lost your margin for error. So yes, we're happy with what we have, but it's just good business sense to think about, might there be a better way?
How much has the fact that seems like you have the same teams or almost the same teams in every year, how much has that been a detriment or a deterrent to what you guys are doing?
People talk about that a lot. My feeling on that is it's cyclical. College sports, basketball, certainly football, has always gone in cycles. And we are in a cycle right now where Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma have been strong. And if you look back to the Southern Cal cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State was on top for a long time. In the 50s, Oklahoma was on top. Notre Dame's had their cycle. Everybody has a cycle. And this one, for these teams, happens to coincide with the advent of the playoff. There's no guarantee that a larger field would change the cycle. It might, but it might just change on its own. It probably will change on its own.
The Knight Commission a couple months ago also came up with a kind of a decision to. They thought that the FBS should split from the NCAA. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't hear any talk about that from our leaders.
Okay.
The NCAA does lots of good things, in particular championships. We may have over time put too much onto the NCAA. You know, the NCAA is just an association of, happens like the association of, I don't know, hardware dealers, radio station owners. Everybody has an association. Well, that happens to be the Association for Intercollegiate Athletic People. I used to work at the NCAA, spent 16 years there, so I know the inner workings of the place very well. And they have big issues to face. All of us have big issues to face in our country, for crying out loud,
mm-hmm.
but particularly in college athletics. It's a complex and a really a stressful time in our industry.
Also, there's been talk here and there, not so much here recently, but on the limited games that the college football should be playing. Do you guys have any set limits on how many games that your team should be involved in?
That's a question that we all talk about. Remember when schedules were 10 games, and then they went to 11, and now 12, regular season schedule mm-hmm. I'm talking about.
Right.
I would think that it would be hard to add too many more games. What is the right number? I don't know. I know that players enjoy playing games, but I just think no one exactly knows what the right number could be. We're just going to have to keep talking about it, keep debating, and come to a right conclusion about that.
Also, do you guys expect any major problems or after effects from COVID from this past year?
Knock on wood, we don't. We're planning to go back to normal.
Good.
For college football playoff with marching bands and fans in the stands and mascots. If the circumstances dictate differently, heaven forbid, in the fall, well, we'll pivot. But for now, we're planning to be back to normal.
How much did last year really hurt or change the way you guys work things usually?
Significantly. People on campus worked so hard to get through COVID, and the biggest part of it was the unknowns and the changes. You know, we'd put something in place, and then all of a sudden that circumstance might change, and so we'd have to do something different. We learned there are some new ways to deal with things. Frankly, we had I'll give you a couple. Sideline control. We had way fewer people on the sidelines than we've had in the past for health and safety,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. We're having fewer meetings in person than we've had in the past, and turned out it worked. Was it ideal? No, but it turned out it worked. Media access. We did way more of that remotely, and it came out okay. We had to cancel our fan festival, and that was unfortunate. We're going to put that back.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interactive, sort of like an amusement park that actually, you know, is going to happen in Indianapolis this year with
right.
the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even talked about that, and we should before the show's
yep,
over.
Yep, that was my next point.
We have learned some things. We made some progress, but we want to get back to normal.
Yeah, and as we just said, you know, the national championship game is going to be here in Indy or Lucas Oil this year. So, you know, of course, the NCAA just had their basketball tournament here not all that long ago. So what's your thoughts about coming to Indy? And also, how early do you get into a place like Indy to set up for your national championship game?
We're delighted to be going to Indy. Can't wait. You probably know that I lived in Indianapolis myself for 3 years when I was with the NCAA. Lived downtown. Loved it. Loved it. Loved the city. I'm just delighted that the college football championship game will be going there. It really letting people of Indiana see another top level event, a one they haven't had before. Compare it with Final Fours, compare it with Super Bowl, although it's not the Super Bowl.
No.
Nothing is the Super Bowl except the Super Bowl. But we're delighted with the spirit of the people in Indianapolis who are going to be putting on the game for us. We're delighted with, of course, the way the city lays out. It's just awesome that teams could, if they wanted to, walk from their hotels to the stadium. I mean, they won't, but they could
mm-hmm.
easily.
Yeah,
Indianapolis is a great place for an event like this, and we're delighted to be going there.
And how early are you going to be getting in to get everything set up to be ready to go before the?
Forgive me, you did ask me that, and
yeah,
I didn't answer.
That's all right.
I got so excited about talking about the city. But we are, right now, we're visiting once a month, our staff is, for a couple of days to meet with the stadium people, meet with the host committee, meet with the hotels. And we will, our staff will relocate to Indy about, 8 or 9 days before the game. The game's on a Monday and the semifinal games happen on a Friday. So, okay. 10 days before. So, okay. We'll go just as soon as the semifinal games are finished.
Okay. All right. Bill, is there anything else we need to bring up or you want to talk about before I let you go?
Well, just always great to talk to you, Ken. I just so much appreciate your professionalism and the knowledge about our world. And just I want to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for what you do for your listeners.
Well, I appreciate the comments. I really do. It's always fun talking to people like you who've got a great association with what we're trying to get done. So I greatly appreciate your time, and best luck to everything you guys do. And I'm sure we'll be talking again before it gets much further down the line, okay?
Good deal. Call anytime. Thank you, and take care, and have a good holiday weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was Bill Hancock, who's the executive director of the College Football Playoff. He's been our guest. Yeah, and that was Bill Hancock, who's in charge of the NCAA playoff college playoff situation. He was our guest last week. We're going to be taking another break right now. Hopefully have our guest we had scheduled coming on 9:45. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Gasper.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited across the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14.
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past 5 programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We had hoped to have on Karen Weaver, who works with Forbes.com. She's also a member of the University of Pennsylvania group over there in Pennsylvania. We're hoping to have her on to talk about June promising to be monumental changes for college athletics. We were hoping to have her on. We left a message for her to call, but as of yet, she has not called us. So, as always, we have an open line, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. Those numbers, give us a call.
Happy to talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Also, a reminder, coming up at noon over at Carroll High School this afternoon, Clinton Central Baseball is in a regional semifinals against Riverton Park, as that game will start at noon or shortly thereafter the first game, which starts at 10 between Union City and Cowan. And the championship game for the regional is tonight, 8 o'clock, over at Carroll High School in Flora. So a couple of other things we need to discuss and discuss right now. This is an interesting, I was looking very much trying to get a hold of some of these people who had wanted to start this, as six of the biggest high school basketball powerhouses in the country, that includes Oak Hill Academy out of Virginia, Mount Verde Academy in Florida, are forming an elite national league that's set to begin in the 2021-22 season. National Interscholastic Basketball Conference will feature additional powers besides the Oak Hill and Mount Verde, that's IMG Academy in Florida, La Lumiere up in LaPorte here in Indiana, Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas, along with Wasatch Academy out of Utah, and two other schools yet to be named. The eight teams will play a 10-game regular season with play-in special NIBC events and hold a postseason tournament. The plans are to potentially expand the league in the coming years. Conversations began for this league began during the pandemic when schools needed to find competitive games for their programs. From those discussions came the NIBC Invitational, which will take place in early January in the Washington area. After seeing the success in that one-off event, the schools explored ways to continue this year. So, I mean, that's it might be kind of fun, but it's more of a league for kids to really get exposure to the NBA instead of college. But you know, NIBC, which is the first university of its kind in terms of a national high school league, should be beneficial to college coaches and NBA scouts because of all that will showcase some of the country's top prospects consistently playing head-to-head against each other on a national stage. The league's six teams have combined to win the past eight national championships, with Mount Verde winning five times. The 2021 NCAA tournament featured 44 players who played at the NIBC member schools, while 24 alums currently play in the NBA. Cade Cunningham, who is the projected number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft, played at Mount Verde, while the four top 10 rising seniors currently attend member schools, led by the number two prospect, Jalen Duren. So that is the high school basketball league set to start next year. We do have Karen Weaver with us here, and we'll get her on right now. Karen, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. How's everything on the East Coast for you?
Everything's nice. It's going to be a warm day today, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to start warming up here, too, unfortunately. You know, last Saturday at this time, it was like 42 degrees. And then again, and now we're going to look at about 90 today. So that's, you know, we're going to get too up there too quick.
It's summertime.
Yeah, it is. So how you been?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. I see you read my piece for Forbes.
Yes, I did. And that's what I really wanted to talk about is that. What is your overall thoughts on the NCAA from a leadership standpoint and maybe some of the problems that they've got?
Yeah, so I think right now the NCAA is really is struggling with leadership. I think they've been waiting for decisions that the states have been making to see if that would catch on. It did catch on like wildfire. It's one of the few bipartisan things that it seems Congress and the U.S. Senate can agree upon these days is names, images, and likenesses. The NCAA is in front of the Supreme Court. We're anticipating a ruling any day now that's going to tell us whether the NCAA is in violation of antitrust laws. And then we've got a whole host of other issues around social media, not NCAA property, which was the hashtag used by some student athletes in the March Madness. We've got gender equity issues. We've got a number of issues that schools are facing with regards to trying to manage their programs, so they try to drop sports to save money, and in many cases in Division I, they've had to reinstate those sports. So it's been an enormously challenging time for college athletics across the board.
And of course, the big thing, and I'm sure there are other ones besides this one, but the big thing seems to be NIL. That seems to be the major part on the plate right now.
Well, and you have to really look at it in a way that just sort of says, you know, if everybody else on campus can make money off of their names, image, and likeness around their social media accounts, or if they're a musician on campus and they've been, you know, making money playing sets at the local club, why shouldn't athletes also be entitled to that? They were the only group on campus that couldn't make money off of their athletic talents or their notoriety on the field. And in some ways, if you look at it as a fairness issue, it does make sense, but it's fraught with all kinds of problems as far as how to manage it within the guardrails that the NCAA as an organization likes to put on things.
Is there another big issue out there that you really think is huge and is not getting the play it probably deserves? I know they got the Alston case sitting out there, and of course NIL, but is there anything else sitting out there that really is going to be a huge thing one way or the other that you think is
happening? Well, I think, and you see it being in Central Indiana, you know, with the arms race that we have in football, and I don't know where that ends. I don't know where we get to a point of how much spending on football facilities and that type of thing is going to continue to be necessary, because I think athletes are going to focus more on how much money can I make through my own name, image, and likeness that I will own, that my family will get to keep, versus how much money do we need to spend on building brand new indoor football facilities, brand new locker rooms, paying more money for coaches. You know, that tension is going to get stronger and stronger.
How much did COVID hurt you guys a year ago, and what do you think the future dealing with COVID and something like that in the future happens to be?
Well, I think COVID has brought a reckoning to the spending patterns in athletics and how much debt athletics programs have gone into in order to keep up in the arms race, in order to pay the salaries, to build the facilities, to maintain the facilities, to make the investments. And that alone, that might have been 30% of some departments' budgets last year. So when you have almost no income or very little income coming in and you've got to make that debt payment, that's a challenge. So I think it woke people up to the kinds of the way that debt is financed in their departments and how much they actually have on the books.
And I think also it really showed a huge or a bigger disparity than what most people thought was out there, especially between men's athletics and women's athletics.
Well, and that's been there. I just think there's more opportunities to share, and that ironic bubble situation that we had in men's basketball and women's basketball allowed for a very easy comparison between, okay, how much food do you have? How many strength rooms do you have, to be able to compare back and forth pretty simply. So it was pretty stark.
What in your mind is it going to take to narrow that gap down in those kind of situations?
Well, this is where the Alston case in front of the Supreme Court, you know, if the NCAA is looking for some help. Because right now, if they try to put any guardrails, any restrictions on what schools can do collectively across the United States, it's really hard for them not to be sued for antitrust violation, because they can't put guardrails on it. Like, nobody can tell you and I what to get paid. Nobody can put guardrails on what an institution spends on its football facility. But the NCAA is asking for that. They're saying, tell us what the cap is. And I think there's a place for that in this, because some of the spending in football at the college level is much greater than what the NFL spends on their facilities and what they spend on their coaching staff. So they need somebody to say to them, stop, this is as much as you can spend. Otherwise, they're just vulnerable to so many different issues. So one of the things that Alston may create is an opportunity for conferences to regulate that versus the NCAA nationally. And I think I've heard some attorneys argue that that's a freedom within the antitrust law, that if conferences offer different packages, that's enough creativity in the marketplace that the NCAA would not be an antitrust violation.
You also now here recently are now the producer and executive director of a podcast called Trustees and Presidents. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, so I decided that there needed to be a larger conversation with both the people who are fiduciaries of the institution. So that's trustees. Those are the people who sign, you know, basically approve the buildings and approve the hirings and that type of thing. But also what presidents are responsible for, because the NCAA has said presidents are ultimately responsible for these institutions. So the podcast is an effort to have that conversation revolve around athletics. As a president, what has been your role inside of athletics? What challenges have you faced? As a trustee, when something involving athletics comes to your level, what kinds of issues are they, and how have you and your colleagues resolved them, or how have you and your colleagues battled them out? It's been a fascinating discussion.
How long have you been doing that now?
I actually started pre-pandemic, so it feels like it's 6 centuries ago. I don't know.
You're also in the process of writing a book. I'll be happy to see this book when it comes out. It's not out yet, is it, or is it?
It's coming out this summer.
Okay. What's it going to be called?
It's called Sports Finance, and it's a textbook. And it basically, it's targeted towards undergraduate sport management majors and business majors, finance majors, that type of thing. And we've taken 15 chapters, and 13 of them we look at each individual sport entity. So we look at the business of the NFL, the business of NHL, the business of the NBA, the business of baseball, the business of college sports, the business of the Olympics, and then we look at things like the WNBA versus the NBA, and we look at the National Women's Hockey League versus the National Women's Soccer League. And then we look at, you know, entities that really impact sport, which is the business of sports media. And then we do a little bit of look at youth sports, and we do a little bit of look at mega youth complexes. I'm sure you got a few of those in Central Indiana.
We do.
Seems like thousands of kids are there every day playing sports. So what's the economics behind that? So that textbook is ideally situated for somebody who knows a lot about one sport, but then wants to compare it to the finances of how the other sports are constructed.
So when you said it'll be out this summer?
This summer, yep.
When where is it going to be at, roughly? It'll be everywhere, or just?
It's going to be, it's a textbook, so it'll be available through Kendall Hunt Publishers.
Okay.
And it'll be versus a hard copy and also electronic.
Okay. As I said, I'd like to see that when it comes out. I'll have to find a way to try and get that if I can. So, cause that sounds,
okay, well, send me an email. I'd be happy to make sure you get one. Yeah.
I'd be happy to have that. Karen, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
I think it's the most tumultuous, you know, month of college sports right now, and also the next 5 years are going to be really crazy as well.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. It's going to be very interesting to see how all this pans out and shakes out down the line. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Hey, listen, we always appreciate having you on. You take good care, and we'll probably talk to you here not a little far in the future, I have a feeling.
That sounds good, Ken. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Karen. Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's been Karen Weaver, who works for Forbes.com. She's also been she also has a podcast out now on that particular media when it's talking about trustees and presidents. And she said she's going to have a book out here this summer called Sports Finance. It's going to wrap it up for our show today. Thanks to our guests. We had taped interviews today with Lynn Elmore and Bill Hancock. Then we just had Karen Weaver on to talk about sports finance. It's going to wrap it up for this week. Everybody, take care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper of State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.